It's news time with award-winning newsman extraordinaire, Kevin James.
A Pittsburgh couple's dog eats $4,000 in cash.
Am I the only one who realizes that this story isn't news?
It's not news. It's Kevin's news.
And it's brought to you in part by Nom Nom, Life in the Snack Lane.
Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to Kevin James. Kevin.
And Haven Real Estate. Alrighty, mister. Are you okay?
what is he doing?
He's trying to get his headphones on with one hand.
Oh, God.
Oh,
the struggle is real.
That's trickier than you think.
No, it's not trickier than I think. I know it's tricky.
It's tricky, and the biggest problem was I put my hat back on.
Oh, yeah, it's
hard
to get over
the
bill.
And so with my hat, it was really impeding my process.
Is that because you don't want Coach Few to see your hair? You're kind of embarrassed.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you need to do the backwards hat. You look real good with the backwards hat.
Thank you, Steve. And I would do that, but Coach Few might tell me to turn my hat around.
He might.
No, right? I feel like Fewey would wear a hat backwards once in a while.
Are you going to call him Fewey?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
What are you going to call him, Mark?
I'm going to call him Coach. I think I've always called him Coach.
Yeah, that's all I call him, too, is Coach.
Yeah.
Really, now that I say that. I like to talk big until it gets to the moment. And
until
then
Fewey gets here?
Yeah, I'll just freeze up. I won't say a word. I'll just sit here and stare at him.
Good dream.
Really good. God, that's the guy.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously.
No, he's
hilarious.
He's always fun. Now, the person who may freeze up is producer Steve.
Oh, I definitely will.
Yeah. I think we should just make Steve, like, go to the side parking lot where our coach is going to be. And just because we got to get him. People come into the building in a weird way, blah, blah, blah. But,
yeah.
But just make Steve wait. Stand out there and wait. I think it's a great idea.
Because we told Steve earlier, Steve.
That'll be flashbacks to the first day of school.
This is one of the most famous people around. I mean, he just coached in the Olympics.
Yeah, like, man.
He didn't just
coach in the Olympics, Kevin.
They won.
Yeah.
They won it all.
Oh, don't sell the gold medal short, baby.
All right, well, let me do my job so that I don't feel like a slacker.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Do you like a chatty doctor?
A chatty doctor?
You go in for your checkup or whatever. When the doctor is chatty, do you find that to be enjoyable or do you find it to be like, nah, let's just get to the business and get out of here?
No, I mean, that's one of the few times I don't think I mind it.
Really? See, I like it too. I've had doctors.
Because that's better than the other option where they don't say anything and they're just, you know, they're asking you a few questions hunched over the keyboard and then, all right, you know. Blah, 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 see you, or something
right.
like that. I would say normally chattiness, not my favorite in all situations, but it's for a doctor, I'd say yeah.
Okay.
Steve, do you not like a chatty doctor?
I guess I don't mind it.
Okay.
I don't know.
A study has revealed that physicians who chat more, and they say, and chat about, you know, try to be relatable about their own lives.
Yeah.
Provide poor quality service.
Because they're more self-centered about it?
And they say what happens is when you get in conversations with doctors, you oftentimes get distracted and you forget the questions you wanted to ask.
I could see that.
I've definitely done that.
I usually start right out with, how much is this going to cost me? I feel like that's a good icebreaker.
You do like to do that.
Uh-huh. I think it's fun. They usually get a big chuckle out of that one.
Yeah?
Do you think copays are too high? You know, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How do you feel about the insurance world?
Yeah, something like that. How about that malpractice insurance you got going, huh?
That's got to be a good time.
Yeah.
You bring your drum kit with you when you do that?
I do. I usually, after I say it, then I'm like, huh?
I'm just,
fans.
I mean, I think I still want a doctor who is chatty. And talks it up with me about
I could see the distraction
whatever.
Part, though, Kev. I could definitely see that.
I get it. I've done it where I forgot to be like, doggone it. I was going to ask them about such and such. But they just, you know, were like, how you doing? How you feeling with this? You know, what's... And you get in a conversation, it's easy to forget.
Yeah.
So it does make some sense. But I'm still going to go with the chattier bedside manner, if you will.
Try this next time, Kevin. If the guy's getting a little chatty... And he's starting to relate your situation to either himself or somebody knows or a family member or something.
Marathon just, he ran.
Right. You just give him any chance you could just stick to business here. like that go over well.
Stick to business. One of my heart doctors who he even said, he almost like asked for permission. He said,
"Oh,
do you mind if I tell you a story about something that happened to me?"
That's a good way of getting into it.
And I was like, absolutely, I don't mind. Let's hear it.
Yeah, what are you going to say, though? Yeah. What are you going to say to that? I mean, this guy's your doctor. He's like, do you mind if I tell you a story? Actually, I do.
It's in your permanent record if you do that.
And I feel like some people might say, no, I don't. But it was a really powerful story where he talked about, like, you know, this, it caused me, like, you know, a lot of stress or whatever for a long time after it.
Right.
And he said, it's just part of the human. It was after my defibrillator kept going off all the time. Yeah. And he was like,
every time you walk by a microwave or something.
It's going to take a long time for you to get completely past that. And it was just good. It was like, okay, that was a real story from a real human.
Right.
Not just a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, he's probably giving me terrible service.
Glowing review. Oh, great story.
Got the wires going to the wrong stuff.
Well, no wonder it keeps going off. It's too busy telling stories.
No, you know what? The one he's put in has been perfect.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Hats off to Doctor.
Do we want
to? No. We don't. We don't want to do that. No, we don't. No.
I'm willing to give him a shout out.
But. Get a free visit with every shout out. Stand by. We'll get to Coach Few coming up next.
The Jay and Kevin Show. Jay Daniels.
Time just makes him a little less visible.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah. That saying is oftentimes not true, Kevin. It doesn't heal it. It just
yeah, I mean, the only time I think it's tolerable. Actually true is with a real wound.
Kevin James.
Like if you have a cut on your hand, time will heal that wound.
Where it came from, yeah.
Yeah. That's the only time I really feel like it's true.
On the big 99.9 Coyote Country.
You know, we could give him a big long introduction, or we could just say Gonzaga's head basketball coach, Mark Few. Which would you prefer, Coach?
Whatever works best for you guys.
Marcy's happy husband. To be.
Yeah, there you go.
Marcy's like husband. That oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, sir would be good. Yeah.
No.
That microphone just took off and ran away from you, Coach. Can you pull it closer to you? I don't know why it just did that.
I don't know.
Coach has already been very impressed with our facilities here today.
Coach, sorry about that, man. We couldn't even get you in the building. Yeah. What is happening?
All you listeners, let's all write a little check here to upgrade the facilities here.
Well, first we send producer Steve to come and get you.
Yeah.
And it should have been fairly easy, but I think maybe you went around to the front door. Is that happened?
No, he went to the back. He went to the back. He got in through the back.
Yeah. How did he get in the back?
He's like an employee.
He's entrance. Coach Few,
He's
man.
Coach Few. Yeah,
he gets wherever he wants.
That's right.
It's due to the beautiful construction we have going on in front of your building.
And, it is nice.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Out by our house. So,
you had to deal with all construction on the way in.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful time of the year.
Off of kids drop off at school? I mean,
yes.
Wow.
And it's bittersweet.
Yeah,
bittersweet, you know? It's, I miss that time.
So, well, it's kind of forced time with the kids where, you know, it's like, how often do you just. I mean, how long was your trip to get to school?
It was 15 minutes.
Yeah, but getting a child who is a teenager to sit with you for 15 minutes, not always the easiest thing.
Yeah, and even going back to the days of grade school, it was that was good stuff.
When you had a carload back then.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of used to like taking them to practices. You know, going to and from practices was a good time that you had, you know, just alone time with the kids. And it was
no question.
Yeah.
Sometimes our buddies...
Absolutely.
Yeah. What age are your two youngest now? Do we still have two in school?
Yeah, we still. Julia is a senior at prep, and Colt is a sophomore at G prep. So
Colt is a sophomore?
He is.
No, he's not. He's like eight. That's so weird, Coach.
I know.
Yeah.
It is bizarre.
Does that mean he's driving?
No. Not yet.
Yeah. So wait.
That seemed very emphatic.
Is Julia the driver?
She is the driver. So okay. There's prayers that go out every morning from a few house to just get everybody there safe.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man. No joke.
Yeah.
It's a great moment, right, when you have a little more freedom where you don't have to run them everywhere, but then it's also the... They're kind of on their own.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have anything to do with the teaching of the driving? I mean, I'm sure they had to do the classes and all that.
Yeah, they seem to do more of that with the classes anymore. You know, it's old school where you just take them out and drive them every night. Right. Marcy and I were talking about that last night.
Yeah, you just used to just go to a parking lot or go on a country road or whatever and say, okay, we're going to learn.
How did you learn how to drive in little, where were you? Creswell? Is that
Creswell,
where you were? Creswell, Oregon.
Yeah. Probably the same as Harrington.
Yeah, exactly. Heck yes.
Right.
You just, out in a field or in a, a random country road. Yeah.
Do any of your kids know how to drive a stick shift?
No. I don't even think they know what a stick shift is.
It is weird. And the only time like you run into one maybe with like a rental car, I don't think they do those anymore. There's almost like a thing of the past.
They're very much a thing of the past.
The last time I saw one, I tried
very much in tune with this studio and the and the entrance. I'd put those on par. Stick shifts, rotary phones, and this studio.
Yeah. It's classy, baby. Yeah. Oh. We stepped it up for you, Coach. Yeah.
Coach Few, what kind of phone are you rocking right now? What do you have? Do you know?
No, I have no idea.
There you go.
Let's take a look at it, if I can see it. Oh, that's an iPhone. Yeah, that maybe is an iPhone 12, I believe. Maybe the same model I have.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, not a big...
You're not in charge of that.
Not really into all that. Just function, function,
that's
function.
That's right.
That's all you need. Yeah.
You're probably still more of a texter than a caller, are you not, or no?
Calls and texts are all I do. I don't do emails. I don't do, I've never been on any of the other stuff.
Yeah.
So, no social media.
None.
None of that.
That's genius on your part.
You know, it's pretty fun.
I used to be judged rather heavily, and now I think in retrospect, it's brilliant, and I think I'm looked at in a different manner now.
Oh, I feel like what would be even good for you.
Even some of the guys on USA, I'm like, no, I don't do that. And they're like, wow, really? And then they kind of like, that's smart.
No, that is genius. That is you're right. I think a lot more people are thinking that's brilliant as opposed to why not.
Yeah.
Because I think, it can monopolize your time, and there's a lot of negativity, obviously, and all that stuff.
A lot?
Just all negativity, isn't it?
Right?
Right.
Yeah. It does always make me happy when I see something positive or something good on social media where you're like, oh, that was cool. We actually used it for something good, but it doesn't happen as often as the negative. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Coach, can you stick around for a while? How long are you hanging out?
I mean, you're pretty much locked in here. This building, you can't be released.
Yeah,
from
I got some time.
Easy in, easy out.
Time, yeah.
Well, because obviously we got to talk USA basketball, being in Paris, doing all the things that you did. Pretty stinking amazing.
It was off the charts. It was, in fact, I heard Steph describe it the other day on a scale of 1 to 10, it was a 12. And I was like, "That, you know what, that's how I'm going to start describing
that's what,
it. That's
yeah.
about as yeah. good a description as you could give it.
I this is meant only as a compliment, but every time they would show anything, like even you walking in or wherever it was, I would just start. I mean, it was making me laugh. I'm like, this is so incredible. Yeah. It was just such a, I kind of felt like I was living it through you because I just, holy smokes, man, you're like in Spokane one day and then you're, coaching the Olympic team.
I mean, we were, and Steve Kerr, our head coach, is the best. He's as good a guy as there is. And we'd talk all the time about in the locker room just how incredibly blessed we are. He's like, man, wait, can you believe how blessed we are? Just how lucky we are. We get to do this. And I always remember, there's so many of these instances and moments, but I think all of us as a staff, and I bet if you really pinned the players down, they would too, just sitting there in that first meeting as they came walking in on the 5th of July, in walks LeBron James, and then you're like, whoa, there's LeBron, and then bang, Anthony Davis, and then here comes KD, and then Bam just came in.
Right.
And, Devin Booker. And it's
it
just
doesn't
like,
stop.
It's just like, are you kidding me? And Steve actually got up the first thing he said, and he's like, are you kidding me, guys? Look around this room. And there'll never be another collection of superstars like that.
Yeah, it was just unbelievable.
It was.
It was crazy. I can't even imagine.
They were amazing, guys. They were absolutely amazing. Just their approach, their I mean, we had phenomenal chemistry. I mean, we had Gonzaga-like chemistry on the on this team. I think they just they so wanted to win this gold medal for the United States. They, you know, for their country. They so wanted to, in some instances, you know, put that final stamp on their unbelievably, incredibly illustrious, off the charts careers.
Yeah.
Or they wanted to be a part of it, and then more so than anything, I'm telling you, they just enjoyed the heck out of finally being on the same team, you know,
right,
instead of all these battles. And
sure. Yeah, that's really cool. And so unique. I mean, like, you don't, okay, maybe an all-star game, but it's just different. An all-star game, you're out there having fun, doing whatever, but you're playing for your country with the other guys that you respect so much.
Yeah, and having, you know, we had the World Championships the year prior with a young team that, you know, it is going to be really, really good, but we ended up getting beat there down the stretch. And I think these guys, you know, took it personal that they were going to put the U.S. back in its rightful place in the basketball world, and they really owned it. And then, you know, I'd also say this, we kind of knew it was going to be hard and much, much harder. We had our little 7 days in Vegas where we did training camp, and it was just a circus. I should show you guys videos of just traveling with these guys.
I can't imagine.
Thousands of people outside our hotel. Thousands.
Yeah.
Waiting for hours to get just that one glimpse when the guys would walk from the hotel to the bus.
Oh, my gosh.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Just stand. They'd stand out there for 4 hours or 5 hours or whatever. And but anyway, just everybody, you know, telling us we were going to win the gold,
Oh, man.
But our guys, we knew, you know, that all these other teams had great players. And then the way we went through it at the end, you know, just how tough those games were,
right,
and how close they were, and how hard we had to fight. I'm telling you, it made it so much sweeter.
Sure.
You know, that
it earned
that,
it. It earned it.
Yeah. And the celebration at the end was just something I'll remember forever.
So genuine for guys who have been through almost everything.
Right.
You know, to see them have that kid-like celebration that was genuine joy over, you know, it wasn't about money. It was just about pride and country and winning. That was, to me, just amazing.
It was totally amazing. And the fact that they all gave huge, I mean, nobody got paid for this.
Right.
And our commitment was, you know, right, 44, 45 days, something like that. You know, the first 35 days were without family, and then most of the families joined us in Paris. But that and just, I mean, they all made sacrifices. They made sacrifices to their time. They made sacrifices to their families. They made sacrifices with their games.
Yeah.
All their games changed.
Absolutely.
You know? You couldn't just, they're used to getting 20, 25 shots a game, and that just wasn't going to work. And they all did it with just class and grace and, you know, respect for each other, respect for everybody in the organization. So, it was unbelievable.
Do you think when you walk in and see your team for next year at Gonzaga, you'll be like, God, you guys are so little. You guys are not grown men like these massive. It's so weird, right?
It is weird.
The level.
Yeah, that's a great call.
You have unbelievable athletes at Gonzaga, but then there's a level that's just a little different.
And I tell the staff this, like, man, I have to adjust here to this, you know, the first time you start. Because the shot making and the plays that these guys or they make is, you know. And then, you know, after you're there for 44 days, you get kind of used to it.
Sure.
Know?
Right. Oh,
there's a 30-footer from Steph. You know?
Right. Just that another one. Yeah. Wait, he missed one?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And, oh, KD, I mean, that's a tough shot. That's a bad shot for every other human being on the planet.
Right.
But it's like a wheelhouse
for him,
layup
great.
For Kevin Durant. 18-footer with a guy in his face.
Right.
And then just the beauty of watching LeBron work every day is just so impressive. I mean, it's just very impressive, just his approach with everything.
I'd like to talk more about the work ethic thing. Can we take a quick break here and then we'll do it on the other side? Because I know it's seeing it firsthand has got to be incredibly different than even reading about it.
Yep.
So I'd love to talk about that.
Know, like, you took, if the family was there, like, did you have to spend a lot of money on souvenirs?
Okay,
like,
let's, we'll do that after the break, Kevin. Hold on. Coach is going to add up all the expenses.
I'm not even going to look at that.
We'll give you some back-to-class cash right now, too. We'll take a caller, 7509-44109.
The Jay and Kevin Show. Jay Daniels.
Hey, no speeding. They're, you got the school thing going on, you know, where they do the heavy emphasis on speeding in school zones.
Kevin James.
You got it. Captain Safety today. I'm ready.
Hey. Captain Safety watching out for your wallet for you, babe.
Your wallet.
On the big 99.9 Coyote Country.
All right. Gonzaga head basketball coach Mark Few, also assistant coach at the U.S. Olympic team that just won the gold medal in Paris. Thanks for coming in, buddy. Good to see you.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
It's great. What are you, see you guys? It's been a while.
It has been a minute. Yeah.
Did you fish in the Seine River at all? Because I know you love to fish, Coach.
For what? Yeah. Dirt, mud?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, no. No fishing.
No fishing.
I don't think if it's a Seine, is it the Seine?
Seine. Yeah, I don't know how you say it. I tried to act French.
Yeah.
We all did.
Hey, my kids, all of us were. But hey, listen, Paris was unbelievable. They did.
Had you been there before?
I've been there several times before at different times, not necessarily in the summer. And, you know, when you don't have really a lot of time to go do things, I was just there recruiting on all my trips. And but I'm telling you what, it was cleaned up. I'm not sure. I didn't see one homeless person on the streets or anything.
Sure, right.
The safety was unbelievable. And then just the people were incredibly outgoing and receptive and helpful. And then it was just, you know, the Olympics or something. I would highly, highly, highly recommend to everybody listening to somehow find a way to get to Los Angeles because in 28, because it's just – the energy within the city, you'd be on one corner and maybe people would be speaking Japanese. You cross, you go, you know, another block and they're speaking German or, you know, Serbian or something.
Yeah.
You go around another corner and there's a, you know, I remember there was an Irish pub and everybody's screaming and yelling. We looked, you know, in there, waving the Irish flag and they're watching fencing.
All right.
All fired up. Yeah. It was just like, wow, really?
Wow. Hey, fencing.
You guys got up for this?
Yeah, you're predicting a major sport, and then you...
Unbelievable. And just, gosh, we walked everywhere. I mean, it was a 30-minute walk to the Eiffel Tower. It was 25 minutes to the Louvre. It was 28 minutes to the Champs-Élysées, which is just, you know, the most famous street in the world, basically.
Yeah.
And just cobblestone streets and clean and then outdoor cafes everywhere. I bet we ate outside 90% of the time.
Oh, wow.
Sitting at cafes, you know, and just you sit outside and the tables face the street and you just kind of people watch.
It's like a movie, honestly.
Yeah, it does. Like that's what you see in the movie. And that's.
But it was easy and it was just a great and then you know you're walking around and you'll see that wow look at that building and it's you know it's a church or some you know like a art some sort of something to do with
like a museum or a gallery or something.
Gallery or something along those lines and you know it was 1600s.
Right.
That's the part that blows your mind.
Right. Yeah.
It's been around that long. We're just like whoa.
Yeah.
That. So, did your whole family get to go? Did anybody make the trip? Or you were
everybody
you don't get to go.
Everybody went. And we were able to, you know, we've been planning it for basically when we got the news that I got chosen to be on the staff for just about 2 years, and then USA Basketball is just an amazing organization. They take just great care of not only the players and the staff, but then the players' family and the staff family, because our guys, like I said, there's thousands of people out there waiting, clamoring to see them or whatever. We had our own hotel. The entire hotel was just USA Basketball.
Sure.
With, you know, everybody's family and So that makes it really cool, you know. And
well,
and,
that's got to be, I mean.
So yeah. much more comfortable.
Yeah, and, yeah. It, and it was like coming back to like a Gonzaga hotel after every game.
Right. Yeah, where it's just fun and everybody's. So for your kids, sports fans, whatever, are they just able to hang out and see all the Team USA guy?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Wow.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, you've done some pretty cool dad stuff, but that probably is.
I
want
to mention that to him next time you see him.
Then you could use it.
Probably.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You still got to bring the cool dad stuff once in a while.
Once in a while.
Yeah.
Next. What's up next?
Right. Right. Remember Paris, guys?
Nothing.
Yeah. Right. School and graduating and all that other stuff.
No, but great culture hit. They got to go around and see all the stuff, you know, because I was busy with practice and game prep and scouting and doing all that stuff. So Marcy and those guys. And then we had days off. So we saw 3-on-3 basketball. We saw beach volleyball, which was incredible.
It's insane.
It was right at the base of the Eiffel Tower. It was at night. And the crowd at beach volleyball is just hopping.
Yeah.
I mean, they got like a DJ and they
right.
The crowd has chants when things go on. Like when somebody makes a block.
Right.
The whole crowd stands up and does this.
The choreographed thing.
It does.
Yeah.
And the level of play is just incredible. And it's such an exciting game to just watch or sport to watch. I was, Ty Lue and I, on a moment's notice, ran over and watched Nadal versus Djokovic at Roland Garros, which was incredible. And then we went to track and field because I grew up with track and field. My college roommates were Olympic track and field guys, so we got to track and field for 2 nights. I really like watching track, and it was
amazing. Yeah.
Nights, and I can't remember if there was anything else in there. So we were able to get around and seeing those other events. And again, it was easy. It was kind of just Paris is huge, but we were able to get around pretty easy.
Man, that makes a big difference because if you got to hassle with like traffic and parking and getting into a venue, I mean, that could be a 3-4 hour deal if it's not done right.
Yeah, they had it down, and then USA obviously helped us. They had these sprinter vans that kind of take us everywhere. But it's a huge bike city. They have tons of bike lanes, and they had Lime bikes, and it was so safe, and we felt so comfortable there. The kids were taking the Lime bikes everywhere.
That's awesome.
That's nice.
Boy,
that's fun. Okay, speaking of the kids, you had to, I mean, obviously you probably get some swag from Team USA, so they have some stuff that's pretty cool, but like, you're at the Olympics.
I mean,
they
Paris.
Had to want like a shirt or a sweatshirt.
Yeah,
or
they found a lot of that stuff. They actually have this. I had no idea they had this. They actually have a Team USA house, you know, for any of the athletes and any of the staff. And they had a really cool store in there. And they would have all kinds of events in there. In fact, we went in there and Snoop Dogg was there.
Of course he was.
He's doing like an ESPN hit or something, because wasn't he doing some of those?
Well, he was just everywhere. I mean, not the funny story, not to bore everybody, but we had our first 3 games were in Lille, which was 3 hours away, which was a really odd thing. Oh. But all the other teams were staying in Lille. We chose to stay in Paris at the hotel, and then we would just train up there. And USA did a great job. We had our own car on the train, you know, just for us, but we had, you know, we were bussing to the train,
right,
doing this. So we're on the bus, and I think it's myself, Steve, and Spo are get there a little early. We're on the bus and getting ready to leave to go to the train station, and the, you know, players are just kind of trickling on. All of a sudden somebody walks in and just, hey coach, and got a speaker on his shoulder, and it's Snoop Dogg.
He's literally carrying a boombox.
Yeah, and it, like, I look at Smo and like, if this doesn't get any crazier than this, what are we doing here? Like, this
only in Paris.
This doesn't happen on the Gonzaga bus. He walks to the back of the bus, and literally, like all the way to the bus station, you could just hear him and Anthony Edwards were just kind of, you know, singing songs back and forth and rapping back and forth. Everybody was laughing, and just then he got on the train. He went up. The players were on the top floor of the car, and we were on the bottom. Got on the train with the guys and rode up to Lille. And then we got to Lille. He got off, and I think he was filming something for NBC or something.
Yeah.
But it was just like, Snoop just walked by.
Like no one's going to not let him on.
He's kind of where you go. Hey, coach, what's up? On the bus?
Right. Who's in charge of that?
don't tell him no.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That is so funny.
You probably have a million of those crazy little encounter stories where you just have run into somebody or some sort of story that's just, probably write a book about it.
Yeah. And I would just say this, just because of the incredible job all our players have done throughout all these years to kind of get this program established. There was great respect for our program and great for, Snoop got on, knew exactly who I was, and gave me the hey, coach, how you doing? And,
yeah, and, you that's know, wild, right?
Yeah, and it's, but yeah, there's a lot of those. And just, what you end up finding out is just how many good people there are. And even though you look at them, hey, they're this star or this just down to earth, fun, good people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really great. Yeah. That's always good to hear.
Yeah.
I feel like the relationships that you probably made with the players and the other coaches, that's going to be a bond that's impossible to separate.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we went 2 years as a staff, and it reminds you of, reminded me of when we got out of the bubble in 21, after we were 30-something days together in Indianapolis, and you're just dying to get home. You're dying to get around your family. You're dying,
Right.
But then the day you do get back, you're just like, wow, this is weird. Because where's Steve? Where's Spo?
Where's
Grant Hill? We would have breakfast together. We would have, dinner together. We'd hang out, pre-dinner. And then
you said how many days was it? 40-something?
44 days.
Yeah. 44 days.
Just kind of locked in on that deal and maybe work out together, and Spo and I would go on long walk. We'd love to walk the city, storm the city, we'd call it, and go walking around everywhere. And, so there's a little bit of that. You're like, wow, where's my guys?
Right, yeah.
And then also just missing the daily interaction with the players.
Do you think that sometimes those, like we found this recently, we had a big family event, my daughter got married, but there was the breakfast after that, which was kind of more low-key, it's much more intimate, a lot more conversation. That seemed to be the thing that people were able to focus on, not to take away from the wedding, but it was just one of those things. It seemed small and insignificant, but it was impactful by how intimate it gets.
I would say if you talk to our staff, we had this, we do this every night, basically, and we coined it off Hertzie, our old baseball coach here. He used to call that time right after a win where you're kind of in with your staff and you're all hanging out, and maybe there's beverages, maybe there isn't, but the cool of the evening.
And, cool of the evening.
Yeah. Wow. And the staff got, I told them about that way back when we were doing the World Cup, and they just got the biggest kick out of that. And so we would just reference it on every text, and we'd just every night, or every, hey, what do we got going with the cool of the evening before dinner?
That's
and
awesome.
Like right after the games, it was just priceless. Last summer and this summer, it was one of those pinch yourself moments where you're just, in a circle, it was Steve, Ty Lue, Eric Spoelstra, Grant Hill, Sean Ford, who runs USA Basketball, who's just amazing person, and then myself, and just sitting around talking about the game, talking about whatever, any topic that comes up.
It's pretty wild, right?
Yeah.
Just to think, man, you start as a basketball coach, and you have dreams and aspirations and things at Gonzaga have been so huge that you're like, oh, it can't be bigger than that. It couldn't. Well, it just keeps getting
world
better,
stage,
coach.
Pretty big.
Yeah, this was just a whole nother level. Not, again, the things we've been able to do at Gonzaga have been just life-altering, right? And just so special and rewarding and amazing. And this was a world stage. And then the other thing was, we were talking off air, instead of Gonzaga fans and Kansas fans, and maybe some casual fans, this was the entire country was
USA
rooting for us. Now, that being said, the pressure of those last two games was
immense.
Enormous.
I heard Steph reference that yesterday too. Which, by the way, is kind of funny. He was talking about the fact that because people were expecting it, you know, they're like, well, you should win. You guys got all these great guys. But yet that even builds the pressure more. But he talked about the pressure. But then he also, on the other side of it, is carrying his gold medal around with him almost everywhere he goes. Just to show you the impact of, hey, this is how proud I am of what we accomplished. It wasn't a small feat. I know there was a lot of pressure, but he's literally like a little kid walking around with his gold medal.
Yeah, and again, I think it just shows you how much that meant to each and every one of those guys, and then collectively to the whole group. Yeah. And then what's so interesting, what you reference there, is that immense pressure that was on us, and then how about his performance?
It didn't seem to bother Steph. I guess if we need to win, I'll just make all of these shots.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you guys, and I think that's what, and then anytime the game was close down the stretch, you'd just watch LeBron and just that. I mean, what he would do.
That's
he
a pretty easy coaching Jokic. Job. Huh?
He would guard, right? He would, you know, he'd take the ball off the glass, and when he starts bringing it on the break, it's like, look out.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And then Kevin Durant. I mean, Kevin Durant would just, you know, boom, 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 hit a couple shots. And so how they responded to that pressure, their competitive will was so impressive to see, you know, firsthand. Now, the bigger the moment, the better they were.
And, yeah.
When they handed out the gold medals, I didn't get to see the ceremony itself. I'm assuming it was a podium scenario.
It was a podium scenario. Ceremony, and it was,
and where
the
were
guys
you?
Were great, man, and the guys I think the whole team had the hands on their heart and were, you know, just so, they were just the smiles, I don't know how to describe them. They were like real smiles. I mean,
absolutely.
Just, I mean, what is it like,
joy, absolute unadulterated joy by guys that have pretty much experienced everything
in
athletics.
I mean, you're hearing the national anthem after winning a gold medal. How is that not just bringing you to tears? That had to
be
incredible.
It did me easy. I mean, it was just a amazing moment. And then our staff was just off the stage watching, you know, and we were all together. So it was, I mean, something.
Coaches don't get gold medals, right?
I think across the whole scope of the Olympics, they don't, but USA Basketball is taking care of us.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Well,
that's
because I was going to offer to get one on, like, Amazon.
Yeah. Timu or something.
You've already got one, then.
Kevin's got a Pinterest account he's going to make.
I'll back off, coach.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, let's take that. Let's put it towards, you know, upgrades in and out of this building. How to get visitors in and out of the building.
That's right. You're probably not going to come back unless we upgrade. And we need to get our game together.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, no. And, again, that just shows you, what a great organization they are. And I think the whole – entity or whatever was just, you know, you have all these people coming from all over the place, but man, just, you got in that hotel and everybody was just pulling for the 3-on-3 team to win.
Yeah.
The women's team, you know, they were in the hotel too with all their family and their coaches and their staffs and all that. So, you know, everybody was watching everybody's games and then also it was frustrating the first couple of days. The one thing you do miss when you're there is you miss what you guys got here, is those 3 hours every night where you get to watch the Olympics.
Oh,
right.
You know, I love that.
Yeah.
And I mean, in our hotel, it was just, you know, the French athletes,
as
you would expect.
Oh,
you know?
Sure. Yeah.
And so then after a couple of days, they got a feed, and we had a big screen in the lobby down there, the NBC feed.
Nice.
Down there. So that was helpful.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I never thought about that. That makes sense.
Way better, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well,
Coach, this is awesome.
Yeah, yes. Thanks for doing this, man.
Yeah, you bet, guys.
Really last time it. I think – we've had you on air numerous times, but the last time I think you were in studio, you rolled in with an ESPN crew.
Did I?
We were filming. You were filming.
Oh, yeah, there was.
They were filming, like, the season or something like that.
I can't,
you don't know.
I can't remember anything.
There's too many of those things.
I literally just, I used to say, yeah.
Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah, that was great. I remember it well. Yeah. Don't ask me any details about it, but I do remember it. Yeah.
Well, keep doing what you're doing, guys.
Yeah.
You do it incredibly well, and everybody enjoys listening to you guys in the morning, and so God bless you.
Yeah, appreciate that. Well, you sure brought a sense of pride to not only, you know, the country, but, you know, Washington, Spokane, the whole area, obviously, you know, represented the school well and everything. And it seems weird to say that you're, you know, that we are proud of you, because that's like, you know, it's weird to say that you're proud of another grown man. But the accomplishment and just the way you've always handled yourself, I mean, it's hard for us to describe because we've been friends for a long time. But
yeah,
it was a lot of pride.
High honor is, you know, I think, you know, us coaches were, you know, too softies and I don't know, too big a whatever's to go serve our country, you know, in the service. But, you know, this was our way of giving back to the country, and I think all of us took that very seriously and took it to heart, and meant the world to us. And I think, you know, speak for the players, I would say they would say the same thing. So it was about as high as honor as you could ever have, you know, in our realm of basketball.
Well,
it's awesome. And I mean, I guess from all of Spokane, like, just thanks.
No kidding.
It's awesome having you there.
Yep. You bet, guys.
All right. Good luck getting out of the building, Coach. We're not going to help you.
Yeah, we're not.
I'll do it on my own, too. So I won't
take Coach Pugh. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks.